It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments today on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at Double T973.com or through the Double T973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. You were a little wobbly there, Gus.
A little floppy.
Yeah. How was your venture?
Yeah, it was good. Good little day trip, a little night trip. You know, went up there wanting to see the Cardinals' number one prospect, one of the top prospects in all minor league baseball. A guy named Jordan Walker. He got four hits while we were there. Two doubles, two base hits. Looked good. That's a
clearly because you were in attendance.
Absolutely, he looked up there.
You're the good luck charm there.
Saw the Lubbock contingent, mm-hmm. the three of us, and went, "Whoa!" Like, you know, like Cardinals GM could have been there, or us three mm-hmm. nitwits.
But, same thing,
sure. And he put on a show. He did everything that you would want him to do when you're getting a snapshot. You know, so we were walked out of there going, "All right, next time we see this dude in person, maybe at Busch Stadium, hopefully, in like, you know, late next year or something." But yeah, he's special kind of talent, Jordan Walker.
How was the experience?
Oh, good.
Hot dog, nachos, corn dog.
Little pregame meal. What they've done up there is, you know, that's right there in the middle of downtown Amarillo, and there's starting to be some restaurants and stuff around there. And so some places you can kind of pregame across mm-hmm. the street. And so there's a place called Joe Taco that our friends in Amarillo are fond of. And they've built a new location right there. I mean, literally across the street from the ballpark. Went in there, had a nice little chips and salsa, some enchiladas, and then
That's pretty heavy for some pregame food, especially like in an outdoor stadium.
Might be in some heat.
Yeah, that was a brave choice.
We were parked in the shade, though, and it wasn't heavy enchiladas. Like some little seafood deal, which was reasonably priced. Good recommendation there, but... my in-stadium splurge was some ice cream.
Okay.
About three hours later. Out of a batting? No, I would have dearly loved some soft serve out of a little sod poodle's helmet. But no, this was just a more traditional delivery. But yeah, it was good. That was a good little road trip.
Whenever I eat enchiladas, I just want to go sit on the couch and unbutton the top button on the pants and just kind of lay back for a little while.
I didn't say it was all you can eat enchiladas. Yeah, okay. It was just right. Yeah, good deal there, and then good sports weekend, I guess.
Unless your name is Chris Woodward,
He might have had he actually had a good sports weekend.
Just a bad
Monday was rough. Yeah,
they fired Chris Woodward. I got to tell you,
today at noon.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
I really wasn't either. I'd love to know what the inflection point was. You know, did he walk in and, I mean, just the odd timing, because it's hard to imagine that he walked in on this day and said, about that extension, hey, we're not going to keep you around next year. Okay, well, then let's just end this now. I mean, it feels like there isn't an inflection point at this point. You know, this isn't the All-Star break or whatever, but here the Rangers go. And, the only thing I've wondered about is just the timing of it relative to getting, you know, the next manager lined up. And this isn't about them making a push this year, obviously. The Phillies did that. You know, the Phillies did that early this year. They canned Joe Girardi a month in going, hey, we've got the roster to win this mm-hmm. year, so let's fix this thing now so we can get it right and get into the playoffs. Rangers aren't doing that. The Rangers, you know, this is a move about 2023 and 2024, and – who's going to be around to manage Josh Young and Rocker and, you know, those type guys, those level of prospects that hopefully all pan out and work out. And I think, the timing of it's unusual, and would love to, and there may be some reporting over the next couple of days about what brought this about at this point, because you could make the case that this was one of the Rangers' better weekends. Taking 2 of 3 at home versus the Seattle clubs kind of pushed them around this year.
You know, and you wonder too, I mean, if they were above 500, probably would not be firing him right now. And, you know, if you accept that as the truth, you have to. I mean, you're the first place you look has to be their performance in one run games, and I don't know how much of that you lay squarely at, you know, at the feet of Chris Woodward, you know, and I tend to believe that probably not, you know, most of that is on him, but still, they're 6-24.
Yeah,
you take 8 away from the loss column, throw, I mean, and I just picked that number out of the air, and throw 8 in the win column, and you're above 500.
Yeah, something that would get it from the category of historically bad to just bad.
Okay. Yeah,
to just fine. You know, you're winning 2 out of 5 of those games instead of 1 out of 6 or whatever you just said. And then you start to go, they would be nipping at the heels of that back wild card spot. And there's just, you know, there's no telling. Was there angst in the locker room? Was there something going on about the timing of it? Because it never felt like there was real confrontation or something there. You never heard any of that kind of stuff. And so maybe to the Rangers' credit, but I'll be curious to see what move they make, and if they make a move, you know, between now and October 1st or whatever, toward the future, you know, that some folks are already circulating Ron Washington's name. How about that? It'd be interesting. It's a whole new locker room, so you know, you might be able to, I guess.
Whole new stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I literally didn't mean the locker room, but a new locker room and all new personnel in the locker room. Yeah.
Somebody says this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This is from Sooner in Lubbock. He says, Napoli's downtown in Amarillo is incredible.
Oh.
This on the chat line from Raiders Dead. Dear Facebook, today AD reacted with a ha to my post, I believe on RedRaidersports.com. In my head, I heard it as an AD chortle they made. Because if I have this correct, if I'm thinking of the right one, this was in a discussion about Woodward being fired, and someone, and I assume it's Raiders Dad, said, did Toyce Woodman say something about Woodward being safe? Because if you've been listening for a long time, and Brennan has just been here for like 5 minutes, so I don't know that he has that hotkey queued up. Don't blame him. But the day that Jeff Bannister was fired from the Rangers, our very young Toyce Woodman said on these airwaves, they're not going to fire Jeff Bannister. and then, lo and behold, hours later. So that was a good callback. We'll have all of the normal trappings of Tech Talk. We're with you today until 6:30 as we'll get you ready for the Texas Rangers baseball team as they open up a series with a new manager against the Oakland A's tonight in Arlington. 7:05 first pitch here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3. Somebody points out, Woodman also announces engagements early. It's true. he popped the question for Chris Beard before Chris Beard did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3, Double T 97.3.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app. Presented by Happy State Bank with Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines. Texas Rangers today fired manager Chris Woodward, as we were just discussing, amid a season of unsatisfactory progress, despite investing more than $500 million guaranteed dollars in the free agent market over the winter. Rangers are third place in the AL West. They're 51-63. Third base coach Tony Beasley will take over for the rest of this season on an interim basis. Speaking of the Rangers, they're in action tonight. They'll open up a series against the Oakland A's. First pitch tonight from Globe Life Field is at 7:05 p.m. It's a four-game series here against the A's.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting pregame show. That won't just be the normal pitching matchups and rundown.
No doubt.
This one will have a little bounce to it.
We'll have it for you beginning at 6:30, that pregame show here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3. The ironic thing about the Woodward dismissal is that it comes off of, as you've mentioned, Gus, arguably one of the best weekends of the season so far for the Rangers, all things considered, as they took 2 of 3 from the Seattle Mariners, including 2 in a row, Saturday and Sunday. Astros are also in action. We'll have that for you on 100.7 The Score. That coverage will begin at 6:40 with a first pitch, 7:10, as the Astros, owners of the best record in the American League, open up a series against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. First pitch from Guaranteed Rate Field, 7:10 p.m. Central Time. The Alabama Crimson Tide will open up the season ranked number 1 in the AP Top 25 as the preseason poll was announced today. Ohio State comes in at number 2. Georgia, the defending national champions, are slotted at the number 3 spot. Those are the only 3 teams that received first place votes. Clemson and Notre Dame round out the top 5. From the Big 12, Oklahoma, number 9 in the preseason poll. Baylor, number 10. Oklahoma State, number 12. And then from a Tech football perspective, the schedule, NC State is number 13, and Houston is number 24. And so the Red Raiders will play preseason top 25 teams in 2 of their first 3 ball games. And then, of course, the Longhorns are ranked in the coaches poll, and that's Tech's 4th game. Miles Brennan, who started at quarterback for LSU early in the 2020 season but missed most of the past 2 seasons with injuries, will no longer play college football. That was announced today by LSU. He had been competing with former Arizona State transfer Jaden Daniels and sophomore Garrett Nussmeier for the starting job.
And the talking point there was, that he has 4 or 5 NIL deals.
You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com or through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. I was going to bring that up because I think like Raisin Cane's.
Yeah, that was one of them. Car dealership, maybe.
Yeah. Smoothie King. A car dealership, as you said, a Sliders restaurant, I guess.
All of that sounds delightful.
Had Sliders for dinner last night.
They were car, yeah. Sliders, smoothies, and dessert right
but,
there.
You know, because of how NIL deals work, right, you can't – it's not like a professional kind of endorsement deal where you can write in contingencies. Hey, if you retire or if you get demoted or if you throw 3 pick sixes, I mean, you know, whatever – we can pull out and not pay you as much. Because this is NIL, you know, he gets to keep that money.
See, I'm all for it. The thing that surprises me about that, at least in wherever that rule is coming from, you know, can't be used in inducements. You know, we've got a few rules surrounding this. I don't even know if they're called rules. Are they agreed upon standards? I'm not sure. But the idea that the payments have to continue because they're not performance-based. I understand about the performance-based, mm-hmm. just as you said. If he's not the starter, we can't take the free chicken wings away from him or the car away or whatever. But hey, walking away from – I know.
Take the car, leave the chicken wings.
Take the car, leave the chicken wings, and I'm not giving back my smoothie coupons. I'm really surprised by the ability to walk away from the team and walk away from the sport and you know, the immediate first shot at it in the reporting was, oh, well, yeah, that's the way it goes. Like, really? You don't have to be on the team to still get NIL? Wow.
And he's a sixth-year senior mm-hmm. who's, as you know, I read, injuries derailed the last 2 seasons. I think in a lot of cases, and you've seen this across the sport really these last couple of days, where quarterbacks that have kind of lost these competitions have opted to move on and enter their name in the portal. But, I mean, I think calling it quits for him makes a lot of sense. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't have a passion for it.
100%. The only thing I'm questioning there is the ability, like, nope, you got to keep paying him. If that's
sure
enough, we're like, wow, there's no... And because I thought that there was also a provision in NIL deals that And these may change from state to state. I don't know. I don't know where the governance comes on these, but that if a guy goes into the portal, that the payments can stop. And that would make sense. You know,
I think it probably, what you probably do to like bake that in and protect yourself while not explicitly saying, hey, this is all based on your status on the team, is you set them up to expire at a time where you are most protected.
Academic, you know, renewable at the end of each semester or something like that, or the beginning of each semester in a way that.
And I guess, and you know, that might actually help the team too, because if you say, hey, you know, these start the end of the first week of school, then at that point, those players are committed, at least for the semester. You can't, once your butt hits a seat in the class, you can't really go anywhere else and play.
Right.
You know? And so this actually might help the programs too, as well as the NIL collectives or the slider restaurants or the, you know, dealership or whatever.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, and again, that, what I saw was just reporting on that the NIL arrangements have to continue. And, you know, if they, if it, and I'm sure a 6-year senior that's been beat up, you could see where the zeal for competition and everything else, if he's, if that balky knee or balky shoulder's already hurting and he's a week into camp, he's going, I can't, you know, I can't do this. But yeah, I just, the NIL thing was the, was the interesting part of that.
Clint, so nice of you to join us.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just taking a leisurely walk, seeing what the neighborhood had in store. Someone handed me a little pineapple drink. I said, this is pretty nice.
Oh, umbrella?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
How about that?
Good Monday.
That does sound like a good Monday. We'll have the Rangers for you coming up at 6:30 on 100.7. I'm sorry, double T 97.3 Astros on 100.7 The Score.
Astros against the wild card contending White Sox. I believe six teams are in the running for the three wild card spots, White Sox among them. And I think the farthest team back is the White Sox at two games. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good White little Sox, Twins, the Orioles.
Yeah.
That would have to, if they make the playoffs, that would awesome. Have to be the biggest surprise of the season.
Yep.
Fair?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And Adley Rutschman's trying to do for them what Buster Posey did for the Giants. Now, Buster Posey won a World Series, beat the Rangers, but I don't think Rutschman's going to do that. But Rutschman's been a key contributor, the catcher, obviously the first player taken in the draft the year Josh went, what, eighth overall? fantastic prospect, and he's really lived up to it. That they say he composes himself like a big leaguer. I mean, like a veteran. The pitchers aren't carrying the rookie. The rookie's got the pitchers. And, boy, the Orioles are set up to be good for a while.
That's weird to hear.
Yeah, I know. It's been a minute, hasn't it? I've got a buddy that's an Orioles fan, and he's got a little bounce in his step these days that he hadn't had in, say a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, when did Cal Ripken retire?
Exactly.
We'll have Rangers baseball coming up for you at 6:30 on Double T 97.3. This is Tech Talk.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're with you today until 6:30. Hope you're enjoying your Monday. We appreciate you spending some time with us. I guess we had some postseason schedules released today for Major League Baseball. We've had a firing. Things are popping off with MLB.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then we're starting to get some standings that have a little teeth to them, some playoff races. Probably a tick too early to get caught up in the day-to-day scoreboard watching. It's fine for fans, but...
September 1st? And when do you
probably
start?
That's what I would say. I mean, and ultimately, it's like every coach ever would say, we just got to worry about us.
Yeah, one game at a time.
And there's truth to that, but... But yeah, it's could be a fun time. I thought of you yesterday. Of course, I was knee deep in the Cardinals. I had a big series with the Brewers, playing for first place. They're at Busch, 40,000 plus 3 days in a row, and rubber game yesterday. It was a good Big 12 series. Split the first two games, and this is what made me think of you, that you like this kind of stuff. Two little nuggets. First of all, Albert Pujols hit two homers yesterday.
689?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've got written down 690-ish.
Okay, yeah. He's close, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's a big number.
I don't know that he'll get 10 more or whatever it is. I don't think he'll get to 700. Be awesome. But I think he's closer to A-Rod. I mean, I think A-Rod's before 700, if I remember correctly. Anyway, I think A-Rod's next, but I'd be just fine with him catching A-Rod. But this was what I thought was interesting. One of the two things that I thought you would like. He has hit home runs against 445 different pitchers. And on this weekend in two
and
different...
400 of them play for the Astros.
One of them...
My Lord.
The one he hit against Brad Lidge counted for like four.
Yeah, still going. Still
and that was postseason.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Probably not on this
well
list.
Aware. Okay, yeah. It's,
think
it's
about
a good
it.
Point, yeah.
Yeah. But this weekend he passed, I don't know what the categories were, games played, something. But he passed Ty Cobb and Willie Mays in various categories. That's just stupid. The other thing that made me think of you, and I saw this yesterday, last night I just sort of had the Sunday night game of the week pregame thing on, you know, baseball tonight or whatever. And the Braves called up a kid named Vaughn Grissom, who was their number one prospect, and he's starting at second base. And, of course, the Braves are, you know, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Boston, back to the 18-whatever, mm-hmm. right? He is the first Brave to score a run in his first five games since 1900.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You should go. So that's what you're saying.
I mean, like,
you brought that up a couple of weeks ago. Like, that's 120 years, 160 games. What's that, 20,000 games
yeah.
or something?
I mean, it's not some, like, just small sample size drop in the bucket deal. I mean, that carries some weight, right? I do kind of question the double last name thing. Kind of wonder how good it'll be. But
Vaughn Griss, yeah.
But either way, yeah, that's because, I mean, think about what we didn't have in 1900. You know, airplanes.
Oh, my gosh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Yeah, it was all train travel.
Course, yeah.
No interstates. No, you know, I'm not saying they didn't hop on a bus, but you know, they probably didn't. I don't know.
I don't think we had
1900.
I don't think we had direct election of senators at that point either.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was still through the legislatures.
Interesting.
Women couldn't vote.
Right.
You know. Wow.
And this didn't make me think of you, but it was another Braves note. You know, the National League Rookie of the Year, probably the leading candidate is a Atlanta Brave outfielder named Michael Harris. He's currently the youngest player in Major League Baseball, front runner for NL Rookie of the Year. He is a Tech signee and was in the same signing class as Jace Young. Third round pick, obviously took the money, Georgia kid. But think about that.
You know what's funny? Like, and granted, I'm not following this maybe as closely as some other folks are, but it does seem like the Tech basketball program, right, mm-hmm. will send out all kinds of stuff about Mac McClung. Like, oh, Mac McClung just signed this contract with the Lakers. What a dude was here for like 8 months, right? I'm curious. It's odd that these college programs don't own, like, I mean, air quotes, own their signees more. Like, if I'm Tech, right? A former signee is, you know.
That's true.
Doing really, really well.
A signee versus someone who played in a game.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, sure. Not apples to apples.
Sure.
But still, on some level, kind of a tenuous connection to the program. I don't know that Mac McClung, you know, ate at Spanky's too much or, you know,
sure.
hung out much of the Depot District or whatever. But, like, you know, I think it'd be pretty cool to pump up the day of a one-time Red Raider signee. I don't even know
sure.
if he's a former Red Raider at that point because he was never really
yeah,
one. But either way.
He probably took a visit and he definitely had signed. But yeah, we've joked around, just me and my little nerd out Tech baseball group have joked about an all Tech signee team. You know, because one of Naylor's playing
yeah.
for the Cleveland, I think. And you know, we can piece together. I'm not saying we've got a full group there. And you don't want to have too many of those guys because it can kind of wreck your, if all you've got is a ton of dudes that never got to campus, you got problems.
They never got to campus.
You need to do a good job of getting that second group in there, but having a couple of those dudes every year in case you get one of them can kind of change your program. But yeah, just know that Michael Harris could very well win the National League Rookie of the Year. And you know, I think J-Bob stayed in touch I don't know that he stayed in touch with him, but the mom and, you know, the family and the people he got to know through the recruiting process, which just can't be a bad thing, right? No. You never know when the younger sibling or another kid in the neighborhood, like, hey, you need to meet, you know, need to meet this guy.
Or maybe he was some, like, really, really great quarterback, and 5 years from now he'll retire from baseball and go play quarterback, a la Brandon Whedon or something.
Heck yeah, that'd be all right.
This in the EX Flooring Center chat line, AD, please ask Clint who Craig Biggio is, please.
May or may not have said Biggio earlier.
Really?
Yeah. Biggio Smalls. It sounds cooler that way.
You think so?
Yeah. And what was better is it was in the discussion of... like Lone Star Sports Hero, I think it was Sooner in Lubbock. It was like Lone Star Sports Hero Craig Biggio, and it was like Lone Star Sports Hero, and then bagging on him, mispronouncing his name.
His son, yeah, he's been a sports hero long enough that his son's now in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was my favorite player growing up.
I met him over at Lubbock Christian watching his son play in a summer league game probably 10 years ago.
How about that?
Yeah, really cool.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I mean he was approachable. I mean, I sat down next to Skip Johnson, who's now the OU coach. Hey, Skip, how's it going? Hey, Biggio, Michael.
Sorry, Biggio.
Yeah, did you tell him he's been mispronouncing his name for years?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know, man?
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says, this weekend my crew got some takeout from the new noodle bar. The Kung Pao was off the chain. Fresh homemade noodles, great meal. We always enjoy the reviews, reviews.
I've seen the commercials, yeah.
On the chat line.
Nice.
Is this the one over by Specs?
They said this one was by, it was 114 and Slide.
Oh, okay.
It's by the new grocery store. Cool. That's what they said.
Okay.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, Michael from the Ranch says, if you're looking for some place to eat in Amarillo, there's only one place, and that would be Joe Taco, as you mentioned.
All right.
Okay. Go to the original one. Ask for the off-menu super secret salsa.
Really? Hey, that's good. I'm glad you... I'm writing that down. Joe Taco.
Super secret salsa.
Would
you be scared to order super secret salsa?
Nope, because we talked about... I like spice now. I don't want that volcano talked about.
That's what I'd be worried about, right? Yeah.
No, but I wouldn't, believe me, I wouldn't ladle in the first bite. It might be more of a dip and
more judicious.
Yeah. There's a place in Oklahoma City called Chelino's. And Chelino's had the same thing, probably the original location in the middle of town, and then got one in Bricktown right there by the ballpark. Of course, big deal, you know, 20 years ago now when the Big 12 tournament moved over there and got a Chilino's down there, kind of the same way as this Joe Taco. But yeah, they had you could ask for little chilies and they would fry up some jalapeno slices, little tiny jalapeno slices. You could just get those, you could just put those on a chip with the salsa, light you up, bro. But it was good.
There's a
off menu salsa, Joe Taco. Got it. Okay.
There's a place, it's in the binder now. It's official.
It is. It's going to be there for a while.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Brennan Riker. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Brennan, what do you think of the job that Clint is doing so far training you?
I think he's doing a good job.
He's trying really hard.
Help me out and show me the ropes. And I think, yeah, it's going well. Can't complain.
Okay. Well, if he slips up, let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
We want you to be very, very critical here.
But you need a hand sign because he's sitting right there next to you. You know, you need to give us the give us a little sign so you can't just hey, Clint's... Oh, he was.
No, he's not in there.
Okay, well, yeah. Not yet.
He's prepping something for y'all. He's getting your song ready.
Oh, I hope it's birthday cake.
Yeah. And we'll get the soda thing right this Friday.
That's right. You
were out on Friday. I was cutting it day. Thursday. Yeah. We need a good, solid, locked-in Friday. We'll get that this weekend.
We have this on the chat line from Alan, who sent this in an hour ago, and I hope Alan is still listening. I wanted to give this some time to really kind of discuss it. Alan says this in the chat line. It's interesting that no one talks Tadlock for the Rangers. For whatever reason, unlike football and basketball, college to pro path is virtually non-existent in baseball. Bobby Winkles is the only former college coach that I know of who became MLB manager. Why is that?
Especially the manager or head coach to manager thing. There's been more probably pitching coaches over the last decade or so that have left, college pitching coaches that have gone to be minor league pitching coordinators and things like that. Interestingly, though, since you and I've started doing this show, a major league pitching coach has come back to college.
LSU.
Yeah, the Minnesota Twins major league pitching coach. First place team. And LSU matched his pay or got within, $380,000 to his $400,000 or whatever. So, in case you're wondering, that's legit. It's one thing to blow a minor league, a minor league pitching coach's salary or minor league salary.
How much do
those
guys make?
I don't know. But I would suspect that, part of it is if the path to being a big league manager, a lot of times that will run through a farm system. Ever been a double A manager or something, and sometimes a candidate list like the Rangers opening would involve someone from within the system. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if things are going well, if they're not going well, you're probably not bringing up the guy from AAA or something. But the college coaches. I mean, Tim Tadlock's salary is more than and not just Tim Kettle, but the best paid college coaches are probably getting more money than the, than a minor league manager and probably even big league assistants. You don't even hear about those very often, but this, the Twins pitching coach getting $400,000, which is good money, but that's not Tim's salary.
Right. Well, and Tadlock has a lifetime deal essentially.
Sure.
When hard to give up that security, but it is interesting. Like, cause you never really, every NFL carousel or NBA carousel, there's always like a Calipari jumps again, or will Lincoln Riley go to the Cowboys, or whatever it is, and we had Brad Stevens did that. Mm-hmm. Butler to the Celtics. Now he's a GM.
Florida head coach, won national
championship. Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan. Yep.
And
happens all the time.
And yet it's so foreign
Patino,
in baseball.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know it is. And I don't know if it's just the structure of the season, the 162 games. I know that there's a better reputation for what happens in college baseball now than say when I played, in terms of the relationships are better. There was a perception back in the old days like if you want to get serious about your professional career, you need to get signed and go play in the minor leagues instead of jacking around in college, long time ago, 50, 60, 70 years ago. Well, now that's not the case, as is evidenced by Major League Baseball clearing the way for reducing the number of minor league teams and saying, hey, no, college baseball's doing it good these days. But yeah, it's not even talked about. The only thing we've seen that I'm recalling are the pitching coaches.
Do you think part of it might be, and not that GMs or ownership is easily swayed by this, but people watch college football on ESPN and Fox and all the time. It's probably the second or third most popular sport, at least in some regions, certainly here in the South and the Southwest. And the same goes for college basketball. You've got March Madness. Do you think that the relative lack of visibility compared to college basketball and college football, you don't have the same familiarity across the country with, you know, Tim Tadlock or the skipper at LSU or, you know, Mississippi State or whatever. And so there's not this kind of groundswell among fans like, hey, well, why don't you get that guy?
Why don't you?
He just wins. All he does is win.
Sure. Especially a guy that's in your region.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even if it was to say, why wouldn't Wayne Graham won at Rice, for crying out loud? That had never happened before or since. Had played professionally, had played briefly in the big leagues. Why not Wayne Graham at some point when they were hideous a decade or so ago? Now, in his case, age was probably the answer to this question, but why not Wayne Graham across town to from Rice to the Astros? That's interesting. It feels like the feeder path for a major league manager is either going to run through from a big league playing career, or I'll say it this way, a professional playing career and or time as a professional coach, to just be like a Tim Tadlock who played college baseball and then started coaching and then jumped to the big leagues as a manager, and not even on a big league coaching staff. It's truly only been done once, unless you go way back into the early 1900s when things were structured way differently.
I mean, the Astros hired one of their radio guys,
yeah,
in the 90s, and he, Craig, he didn't have any kind of other kind of coaching experience. They took him right out of the booth.
Yeah,
he's a former player,
sure, right? And there it is, right there.
Yeah, and they won some games. They won a lot of games there, and he was successful. He's a former Cardinal too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the fact that they would do that, and yet, you know, you can't really rattle off a bunch of great examples of college straight to the pros. Do you think that it would translate well if someone did take a chance on
the other day, the Ole Miss coach re-upped his deal. Of course, they just won a national championship and getting like $1.5 million a year. Man, there's athletic administrators. Kirby might be this way that would tell you, you know, and I'm truly not speaking for him, but I'm just saying you don't have to be an old guy to say what I'm about to say. Probably never thought you'd see the day that the baseball coach is making $1.5 million, you know, because with that, I'm sure was a raise for his coaches and everything else. But, you know, it's important to fans. And so it's happened. But
I mean, you don't have to go back too far, you know, to where the football coach here wasn't making that much money.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's not that long ago. It might be long ago for a guy like Brennan, who's like,
sure, yeah,
you know,
the baseball
17
coach,
17 or whatever.
Yeah, and the baseball coach when I played, or right before when I played, Kyle Seegers was taught PE classes, taught archery, and then came over and coached baseball in the afternoon.
Climb the rope. More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, Double T 97.3.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app, presented by Happy State Bank, with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments in the H Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app, presented by Happy State Bank. You know, sometimes things happen late in the week or over the weekend that we kind of lose track of, or by the time that it gets to us on Monday afternoon, it's a little bit stale and not necessarily as timely. This probably qualifies, and I wouldn't have, you know, led the show with this, but hell, it's 4:15, so and I want to talk about it. Did you see the comments, the kerfluffle, the controversy, the spat that occurred in Lexington over the weekend, thanks to some comments from John Calipari, head basketball coach at the University of Kentucky? He was he did an interview about how, and essentially this is a story about Calipari's desire to get a practice facility, right? A facility that matches the prestige and history of the University of Kentucky basketball program built.
And he wants it parked in the middle of campus.
He wants it. He wants one like Tech has, essentially. He didn't say that, right? He didn't name drop the Red Raiders, but he wants a basketball palace. And frankly, he should get one.
And he talked about that being like a center for, like, it's accessible to the students and that. Yeah, I mean, it's his vision for that was off the charts.
And this was an interview conducted with a friendly reporter with The Athletic. You know, again, this was supposed to be him pushing for this and kind of building support and kind of a way pressuring the administration to kind of move forward with this project. And the funny thing is, he put his foot in his mouth, and that became the story.
Yeah, it did.
Not the need for a facility. And this is what he said that caused this, the kind of the match that lit the fire. Quote about Kentucky from Calipari: "This is a basketball school. Alabama is a football school. So is Georgia. No disrespect to our football team. I hope they win 10 games and go to bowls, but this is a basketball school." That was his reasoning for, hey, let's get this done. We're a basketball school. We should have this.
And we can't argue with him there. He's got a great point.
It's true.
And he's exactly right. Just as if Bill Self says, we're a basketball school. Can't argue with that.
But there's a bit of a difference, though, in terms of the dynamic, and I'll get to that in a second. But it quickly drew the ire of Mark Stoops.
And it has to.
The head football coach at Kentucky.
It has to.
He sends out a tweet. Basketball school? I thought we competed in the SEC. Hashtag 4 straight postseason wins. And it even spread to the football players, right, who, and I don't know the Kentucky football team, but I'll have to tell you if this was a good player or some kind of scout team guy. And it was deleted, so I can't read you what it said exactly. But essentially, he took a shot at Kentucky for losing to St. Peter's or whatever the team, the 15 seed, this past, like...
The Mighty Peacocks.
Yeah, how can you bust our chops? You guys lose to a 15 seed. And so it quickly spiraled. The AD had to get involved. And, you know, it has kind of spun all kinds of reaction articles and columns and... Calipari's apologized, etc.
Stoops has to speak up there too, because if he just doesn't have a comment on that and just takes it, and you're recruiting against him, aren't you loving that?
Well, yeah, and that's why he's so defensive, right? Sure. You mentioned it, recruiting, because that's what they go up against. If they're going for a player that Florida or Georgia or Tennessee, I mean, name
Ohio
the program,
State,
is good, because they do recruit Ohio a lot. You know, hey, don't go there. It's a basketball school. They don't care about football.
Right.
And so, you know, basically you're getting shot at from the outside, and then suddenly you get shot from the inside with the same bullet. It definitely stings, and I can certainly understand why Stoops was ticked off. But I guess I set all that up over these last 4 minutes or whatever to question this. If push came to shove, wouldn't you choose Stoops over Calipari?
In terms of...
It would never get to this point, right? But if this escalated, and it won't, to the point where you had to choose one or the other, I think Kentucky takes Stoops.
Do you really?
And here's why.
Because age?
Or... No, age has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Name me the basketball coaches that have had success at Kentucky.
Yeah. I was about to say, you're coming at it from the other direction, which is to say... Anybody can win in basketball at Kentucky, except for Billy Gillespie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Rupp,
yeah.
Tubby Smith,
sure.
Patino, Cal, right? Like, it won't be that hard to replace him when the time comes. Name me the coaches that have coached Kentucky in football that have won 10 games more than once.
Right.
That list does not exist. And keep in mind, Bear Bryant coached at Kentucky.
And Bear Bryant left there. Famously left there. This is where my childhood in Tuscaloosa kicks in. He famously left there because when he won an SEC championship in football, this is post World War II. When
1950.
Left there for A&M. When he won a championship, he and Adolph Rupp won SEC championships. Adolph Rupp got a new Cadillac. He got a watch. He was like, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stoops is not like Nick Saban, right? I'm not saying that he is.
Uh-uh.
But they've gone to six straight bowl games at Kentucky. They've won four in a row at Kentucky. They went 10-3 last season. They went 10-3 in 2018. So they have two top 15 finishes in the past 4 years. One of those was COVID, which hardly counts. Those seasons that they missed. You can't, like, once he leaves, whether it's retirement, dismissal, new job, whatever, that's a big pucker time for UK, right? Yep, because you can't just easily replace that. That's where the Kansas analogy kind of falls off, because I'm sure, like,
they, oh yeah, no,
as
there, no
Clint
doubt.
Knows, they've been awful there.
Yeah, the floor for Kansas football is a lot, I'm sorry, Kentucky football is a lot lower than the basketball program.
Absolutely.
You know, they could have a disastrous year and win 17 basketball games and all lose their mind and want to fire everybody. Football goes bad, they're going 2-10. And this also goes back to, and it not taking away anything from the job Mark Stoops is doing, because that's credible. And you know, the Stoops boys have their roots in Ohio, and so that's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not saying it's home, but Kentucky's right there. That's a pretty good coaching job
Mark Stoops has one of the best jobs in college football, because he gets paid really, really well.
And he doesn't have to win national championships to keep his job, you bet.
Right. I mean, he can withstand a 5-7 season, and no one's going to be, like, you know, hanging him in effigy,
right?
Outside of his office window.
This speaks to the SEC East. You know, you and I talked about how that division can get cyclical in a way that Missouri can walk in there and win two SEC East championships in a row and play for two SEC championship, you know, and two SEC championship games just a year or two after they left our league. Mm-hmm. We're going, were they elite? No, yeah, but Florida's down a little bit. Georgia was waffling around, and suddenly they walk in and they're, you know, they're playing for championships.
And heck, even having Georgia being this 800-pound gorilla in the division, in that way, it kind of helps Stoops, right? Because now any reasonable Kentucky fan or administrator is going to go, I mean, listen, man, I don't really expect you to beat Georgia on a regular basis and get to the SEC title game. Hey, win 8 games, you know, go 7-5. We'll give you a 4-8 year here and there. I mean, he's been a miracle worker there.
Just don't detract from what we're doing here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting, because I think Cal probably, and he, I mean, listen, he's got a bunch of security, and they're not going to have to choose between either of them. But in the heat, when this was kind of burning the brightest over the weekend, that thought entered my head, and I just thought it would be an interesting kind of discussion.
I wonder if Calipari retired next summer, I wonder who's on that short list of candidates. And you know, it's probably the reverse of the conversation we just have. That part of, I don't know who, but somebody on that list is a current NBA head coach. You know,
or do you think they'd stay in the SEC and go after, like, a Musselman if he could get pegged out of Arkansas?
Yeah, that's not a bad.
I wonder if there's a level of arrogance there to where, you know, they would view themselves as above that. Like, we're better than Eric Musselman.
We're going to offer this to the Celtics head coach.
Yeah, right,
first.
Wrong, or indifferent. I mean, I just – more tech talk next.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
So, guys, does your opinion about Texas football this season change after the loss of Angelau and Nayor? So, Nayor is a transfer receiver that came in, expected to do some good things, and then the other guy is an O-lineman, going to start, or was going to start. It hurts. That's a big... That's a big blow to wake up to, in mid-August.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I don't know enough to know if it's going to change their season outlook, but it's that sure doesn't help. I mean, nobody wants to eat into their depth a week into camp, 10 days into camp.
I think what maybe gives me more pause about the Longhorns, and keep in mind, they received a first place vote in the coaches poll.
Not so much in the AP poll today.
Is the early reports about the quarterback performance? It seems like they've been just getting torn up so far, and really not much, not a lot of daylight between Quinn Ewers and Hudson Card. So they will need someone to be an answer there, and if they're not, doesn't matter, you know, if they have Engelau or Nayor or, you know, or not, because that's the most important spot.
Boy, it feels like they're really invested in Ewers.
Well, sure, you know, yeah.
Certainly the fan base is, which I understand, because that really hasn't been a competition in everyone's mind. They're wanting high-flying offense under high-flying offensive coordinator, and, you know, they're wanting the poor, or maybe not even the poor man's, they're wanting what Bama had 2 or 3 years ago, right? Under Sark. And the thought of him, Ewers, being in a true competition for that position is probably not what most folks' expectations are. They want to hear that he's a Heisman contender. I mean, think about it. The narrative is he gets, you know, the Arch Manning narrative ties into this a little bit of, here's the grand plan. Ewers starts this year,
mm-hmm.
starts next year. That's his third year out of high school.
Off to the NFL, first round
pick. Off to the NFL, and Arch is a four-year starter. He redshirts 1 year, and he's a four-year guy. Okay.
But that plan starts a little bit shaky if you
have a tough time winning the job.
Yeah, or just even aren't any good this year.
No targets to throw to, O-line throw, who knows?
And as much as we've talked about the Red Raiders having a tough schedule this year, I mean, don't sleep on the Longhorns either, because ULM is usually pretty froggy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, we know what Alabama is. That's going to be a long day there for the Longhorns, I would think, slash hope.
You promise me that?
And then they get UTSA, right? And UTSA.
That's a plucky little bunch there.
Yeah, plucky's a great word for it.
Yeah.
So, and then they go and play the Red Raiders in Lubbock. So, I mean, like, it's not going to surprise me at all if that's like, you know, a combined three wins between both teams going into that game.
Yeah, they've got a lot at stake in Bijan Robinson, but I don't think they want him to be the only answer offensively.
Well, and if he is the only answer, then he can't be the only answer, because they're just going to key on him, and
sure.
No matter how good you are, especially with a kind of a shaky O-line, it sounds like their O-line situation is much like the Red Raiders, going to be breaking in a lot of new players.
Well,
And
where are we at in the Red Raider quarterback competition? I believe this coming Saturday, got another week and then another Saturday scrimmage, and then we're at quarterback announcement time, right?
You would sure think, because
based on the timing that Coach McGuire talked about in the summer,
because this is essentially the last week of normal camp, and then I think he has said that, hey, the week before the first game, they want to do a mock game week. Right, and so that would mean that this time next week that they're, you know, beginning to kind of implement their process. This is how we do things. This is our game week schedule, et cetera. And then after that, it's game week. I mean, two weeks from today, you'll have a press conference.
Yep, and in a week from today, and that's probably an important thing with a new coaching staff as much as anything, right? Really mocking out that week, that's probably a big deal.
Lucas says this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Speaking of UT, Sark's seat has to be getting pretty hot, right?
It's hard to say. I mean, another 5-7, yeah. But if they're 8-4, I don't know. I don't know how hot it is. If it's, you know, but if you're responding, you know, because they had an arrest at the end of the week last week, which had to do with the dude, like, messing with the, wasn't it a parking boot thing, and the dude tampered with it and got, you know, suspended.
Not familiar. I just saw the headline.
That's what I read.
I mean, like, if they go 5-7, but they get beset by injuries early on, I think that probably buys him some leeway there.
Well, you said it. I think you said this a couple weeks ago. they probably aren't going to toy with the Arch Manning deal. Like they're what? Probably want to keep things so that he gets in. Sark's going, hey, let me get that guy on campus.
And I'm surely that would be a tactic or a talking point, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you just got Quinn Ewers.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not like you're trotting out there, you know, Javorski Lane at quarterback, you know, or
that was random.
You know, Vinny Testaverde Jr. or the third.
Yeah.
You know, like you've got Quinn Ewers. I mean, this guy was all everything. So it wasn't as if you were lacking talent in that position or really any position.
This is the Buster Leaf scenario Ryan Leaf, good grief. Buster Leaf was a Monterey football coach in the 90s. Goodness. Ryan Leaf scenario. Anybody in America would have taken Quinn Ewers if he had said, hey, I want to come there and play.
Absolutely.
Everybody in America. And so if he turns out, and it's way too early, but if he turns out to just be the bust of the century, a la Ryan Leaf, right? Because most every NFL team is going, man, you know, Peyton Manning won, Ryan Leaf 1A and 1B, mm-hmm. right? It was that thing went down to the end, and it was the most talked about, publicized thing ever. And whoever gets one, the other one's getting taken. Boom. And there probably would have been 30 teams that would have done the same thing. If we get a shot at either one of the two, same thing with this Quinn Ewers. If he doesn't work out, there's probably 110 or 100 and whatever the number is of everyone minus the one that got him going, whew, that was good. Now, maybe he goes to Louisiana Monroe and he's a great player. But,
I do think, though, that you can, if you're Texas and Quinn Ewers is a bust,
yeah.
I do think that you can... I think you can be critical of Stark there, right? Because it's not as if he's some, you know, defensive background coach.
Right.
They just kind of turned it over to some hotshot young. I mean, they brought him in to be the quarterback guru, right? To be the offensive guy to fix that
offense,
position. And so if he is given that, you know, really, really elite.
Nice piece of marble to chisel.
To mold, right, exactly. That's exactly where I was going. I was going to say clay, but marble's way better.
Good. All right.
Marble's way better. To me, I think you can pin that on Sark, even if a lot of that, you know, blame, air quotes, goes to Quinn Ewers. You know, cause especially like if they're bad this year and then Arch Manning comes in and wins the job next year and they're bad, I mean, at some point.
And he's playing as a true freshman because Ewers is a bust. And again, you and I are taking leaps with this narrative there, but it's the news of the weekend there that we led with was the two ACL season-ending injuries for Texas, a wide receiver and a lineman, both high-profile guys, right? Both key guys.
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Check out the Orange Bloods message boards. They're already throwing Sark over the side of the sinking ship.
Boy, that's odd. I mean, is it even sinking? But if there's a perception of it sinking there, if there was a little splash under the... then they're losing their minds.
Well, I mean, after 5-7 and losing to Kansas, I think trigger is probably a little thin.
They're a little sensitive down there.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.